Welcome, Archetypal Tarot Podcast listeners. This is your host, Sundara Quackenbush, and I have the pleasure to welcome Erica Robinson to the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
And we're going to be discussing your book, The Language of Lenormand. And I'm really excited to explore this. This is a new divination tool for me. But I know it's been around a long time. But I may represent part of the audience that is like, what is that? I'm familiar, most people have heard of Tarot, they've heard of all kinds of different divination methods. But what is the Lenormand? And we're going to find out in the course of our conversation and maybe even have a little bit of a sample reading, which I'm very excited about. We don't do this often on the podcast. And Erica has been generous enough to offer. Wow, exciting. So, welcome. Welcome, welcome. I love to start with the titles, which launches us off into, what it is we're talking about, the language of Lenormand. So you talk about language, and I know for many years you're an English teacher. So tell us what is it about this language and what makes it a language?
So I came to Lenormand first as a tarot reader. And of course, every divination system you could argue is a language, right? And what struck me about Lenormand is that even though we're talking, as we are about tarot, with about pictures on cardboard, the pictures are sort of actually, believe it or not, incidental. So we have 36 archetypal images, things that you'll recognize, words that you'll recognize, book, tree, house, stork. And just like when we were kids, we learned the alphabet and then we learned to put the letters together in a particular way to make words. And then we put those words together to make sentences. That's how Lenormand functions. You put the cards together and you read them like a sentence or a paragraph or a book. So you do not read Lenormand cards individually. It's like if I said the word dog, you would get an image of something with a tail and a snout and four legs. But it's not until I add other words to the word dog that you get a visual of what kind of dog we're talking about. Do we need to run in the house and lock the door? Or do we want to scoop it up and hug it while it licks our face? That depends on what words I attach to dog. So Lenormand is a sort of a team sport. And it's a very direct language. And I think that one of the things that I discovered early on in my Lenormand career is something that I don't think even the best European seasoned Lenormand readers understood about it, which is that it is very direct and it can be very terse and to the point, kind of like See Spot Run. Right? You can read See Spot Run and you really think you did something. Oh my God, I read a sentence, See Spot Run. And you did read a sentence and here's a cookie. But you can take See Spot Run and add other words to it. And now you've written Shakespeare or Toni Morrison, et cetera. Lenormand is capable of that kind of elegance and eloquence and expression. So, for example, I have a blog and I use three different systems in it. I use tarot, I use Lenormand, and then I use an African oracle called the Adinkra. Lenormand tells me tarot tells me the subject. Lenormand fleshes it out and gives me details. And then the Adinkra sums it up. These are three languages, right, that are all speaking together, but it's not cacophonous. Why? Because each language has its own way of communicating. So, for example, let's say you were upset about something. So you might read your favorite poem, and that poem might bring you some solace. You might then go to a museum and look at your favorite piece of art. That also brings you solace, but in a different way than the poem did. You might go out and have your favorite meal, That brings you solace in a different way. You might call a friend and get their advice. All of those are languages that together have brought you from where you were to where you wanted to be. See what I'm saying? So I really, Lenormand is its own thing with its own rules, just like languages. All languages have rules. So it does have rules, but it's a grammatical, it's a grammar language, actually, that you then can expand upon to say anything and communicate again with spirit. Because I believe that's another thing. I noticed that the Europeans thought that, I don't think that they realized that intuition could be used in the reading of Lenormand. For me, that is absolutely the case. And that's what makes your readings so rich, because you listen. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So it's that connection. It's another way to connect with source through the Lenormand. And so for me, when, you know, I was going through the process of learning Tarot and memorizing a lot of things and such a rich thing there, but what really helped me bridge into the intuition part and the giving a spirited reading was to see the stories in the cards and to connect the stories. So I'm wondering if kind of that method that I found that helped me connect to the tarot and actually helped me to form my own deck using billion-year-old stone imageries, which has its own way of communicating, is a similar thing in the Lenormand. So
absolutely, it's about story. It's all about story. This is how human beings relate to the world and relate best to each other, is through story. And what better way? It's the common way that we're all used to story, but through a language that is a word language. So, you know, there are many beautiful Lenormand decks out there, but you know, if you're going to collect them or you're doing it just because you love the art, right? But it doesn't matter. So I'll give you an example. I went to China once, and it was my first time, and I was going to be there for an extended amount of time, and I wanted to have cards with me, but I didn't want my cards confiscated because I was all over China, and some places feel a little more, I'll just say, communist than others, right? So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a set of 3x5 note cards, and I'm not even going to put the word on the card. I'm just going to put the number. Each of the 36 Lenormand cards has a number. I'm just going to put number one on the first one, number two on the second, et cetera. And I was able to read Lenormand for all kinds of people just with those cards.
Amazing. Wow. So to really get to, you know, an advanced level with Lenormand, you recommend a certain level of memorization, connecting the imagery with the numbers and so
on. I think that, yeah, well, you know how in speaking of language, if you learn French or you learn Spanish, you remember that you were required to learn the article along with the noun, le, you know, la chaise, la chatte, le chien. And to an American ear, it's like, look, that's so stupid. Why? But that's how that language functions. So in my book, I try to make it, make that case that you want to memorize the number with the card. So number five is house. I mean, number four is house. Number five is tree. You want to, because there are certain spreads that you do where you need the numbers. So remember, we're talking about 36. We're not talking about 78. And we're not talking about, you know, having to know the religious significance, the astrological significance, the color significance. No, it's not that way at all. It's just the thing on the card, the number. That's it. Wow. And then obviously each thing has multiple meanings. And this is where intuition comes in, because how do you know? For example, I'll give you an example of the bear. That's one of the cards, number 15. The bear is a card that means mother. It means food. It means diet, weight issues. It means financial abundance, sort of money, sort of like stocks and inheritance, that kind of money. It's the card also for the narcissist. Well, how in the world do you know when it's a mother and when it's a narcissist? Mind you, Not that a narcissist cannot be a mother or that a mother can't be a narcissist, but that the way that you know how a particular card functions, it's just like in a sentence, it's the other cards around it.
Right.
For example, if I say the word dog, okay, dog. But if I say the big black dog with the snarling fangs, dripping saliva, was leaping at my throat, well, that's one image. But if I say the fluffy little brown dog wagged its whole body when it wagged its tail and couldn't stop licking me, you see how that's a whole nother image?
Definitely.
It's because of the words that I attached to dog. And that's how Lenormand functions. You look at that card spread that you have, it's essentially a sentence, right? And you say, okay, I see the bear there, but what is it? The other cards will tell you.
Right. Yeah. And that's a very similar thing that I noticed working with the story through stone cards. I could deepen into one card, but it just always got so much richer when it was placed in the context of the other cards. And so it just seems like that really is the key of the Lenormand approach.
Right.
So just stepping back a little bit into the source of where these cards come from, was Lenormand a person? Was it a...
No, it was originally a card game, and it is actually, it's named after a person. It comes from the 1800s, the early 1800s, late 17, early 1800s. And it was named after a woman named Madame de Lenormand. Now, who was she? She was a famous psychic, a famous seer in France in her time. And so it was the cards were named after her as a marketing device. You know, oh, let's put, I don't know. Well, I mean, okay, Trump is on a building. It's a marketing device, right? Okay, so, but she had nothing to do with it at all. It was originally a card game and it just grew in popularity. It's French slash German. So there are cards that have German meanings, cards that have French meanings. I'll give you an example. So in Germany, birds are sorrow. Birds are also in French, in the French version, conversation, talking, networking, that kind of thing. So when I do a reading, I generally, because there was only one resource when I first started to read that was written in English, it was by a French woman. So my references tend to be French. However, once in a blue moon, once maybe every 10 times, I'll do a reading. And that sort of that French meaning for birds doesn't fit. And so then I say, could it be sorrow? And then the penny drops and it makes sense.
So when you're doing the reading and it's called with a sitter, is that unique to Lenormand, that term?
No, I don't think so. I think, yeah, lots of people will do that with tarot as well. Your sitter, your querent.
Your querent, your sitter.
Yeah.
So you're kind of, you're a collaborator with them, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's, you know what? What a good point.
Yeah.
I think that there are readers and there are readers. And I think that, for example, there are readers who, not just tarot, Lenormand as well, who see it as kind of a parlor trick. And so it's look what I can do. And it's for me to know how to do and for you to pay me to show, to give you my wisdom. But I don't approach it that way. My theory is that my sitter and I have entered into a pact, an agreement, a covenant. Now, what is it? It is that they're allowing me to go from the world of Chronos, which the Greeks call time, time on the clock, time on the watch, time on the calendar, to travel from the land of Chronos into the land of Kairos. Now, what's Kairos? The fullness of time, the Greeks tell us. So when I was a little kid and I asked my mother a question, if it was above my pay grade, the answer, she would say, you'll know in the fullness of time. And I knew that that meant not today and not tomorrow, but Kairos is the fullness of time. So Kairos includes Chronos, but it's more than Chronos. So when I sit with a reader, they've contracted with me to go to Kairos and to access the vault of their knowing, which is their higher self's wisdom. So I go to the right vault, put the key in, bring the information back downstairs to Chronos and lay it on a table. And the cards essentially are a mitigating device. They are they're a way for me to translate the language of Kairos into the language of Chronos.
Wow.
So it's what's so amusing to me and just sweet is when a reader will say, "How did you know?" And I'll say, because you told me, your higher self, because we know the past, the present, and the future, right? Physicists tell us that the past, the present, and the future all happen simultaneously. On the one hand, that sounds crazy, right? And as human beings, we can't function like that. We live in the present. We might think back to the past. We might anticipate the future, but we don't understand that sort of telescoped concept. Right. So when you read, you go into Kairos, which is the past, the present, and the future. And then you come back down to the table with the cards and you're translating into the present. But the person who's sitting across from me or is on the Zoom with me or on the phone, because you don't need to see the person to do this. I used to do it just through people would ask me questions when I was learning. I would go on forums and say, okay, I'll do 10 readings. So somebody in India might say, what does he think of her? Now, my ego wants to say, excuse me, what? Who's he? Who's her? Is this an employment situation? Is it a love thing? But that's my ego. They didn't ask my opinion. They asked the cards. So I just pull cards. I've never seen the person, can't hear them, nothing. And I just show them what the cards have to say. You see?
Wow.
So that's the beauty of it. But yes, I think it requires a contractual agreement. And that can just be, I agree to let you read for me.
Right, right. Exactly. Sitting down and showing up for the reading.
Right. Sometimes people will say, like a lot of times you'll get parents of grown children. And grown children don't necessarily tell their parents everything the way that they did when they were six. So a parent will want to know about what's going on in a grown child's life. And I will say, well, this is what we call a third party reading. Some people don't do them. I will do them, but I have an agreement with spirit. And my agreement is that I only be shown what that adult child would want the parent to see. And sometimes what it is quite surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you say to yourself, wait, are you sure this is what you, but you wouldn't be shown it otherwise. So for example, I'll do a reading and a parent will say, you know, oh, my kid is not communicating, standoffish, et cetera. More than once, for example, the situation will be that they're gay, that the parent does not, that there's never been a conversation, right? I see it and I'm like, do I out this person? Do I say what I, but again, I have that agreement. And so invariably I'll say, well, this is what I'm seeing. And they're struggling with how to tell you. And invariably a parent will say, I knew that. And I said, well, have you discussed it? No. I said, well, this is permission, an invitation even to leave here and go have that conversation with your child. Many times I've had parents come back to me and say, thank you, because I wouldn't have known what to say. They didn't know what to say, but I can say, listen, I saw this crazy woman and she read the cards. And this is
it's great to be sometimes, or the initiator, you know, get it going for other people. That's amazing. And so do people come with just personal issues to the Lenormand, or are there collective readings that can be done?
I think that generally people come with personal stuff. I mean, but yes, you're right. These cards can be used for, you know, the zeitgeist. And in fact, when I started my blog, which is on Substack now, I started it around the last election cycle and when we were in the middle of the the plague, we'll call it. And when the George Floyd incident happened, so I would read a lot on what was going to happen, for example, for the verdict for that, who was going to win the election, what was going to. So in my blog, I do read for the Zeitgeist. You absolutely can use Lenormand for that.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I'm almost afraid to ask for that. I'm starting to ponder my question here and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to
Yeah.
know. But let's go ahead and go there. I'm really excited to experience this reading. So let's see. I'm recently exploring the world of channeling, and I think it's very similar to what you were talking about with the vault,
It is.
and opening up to that and allowing this information to flow. And I'm so excited to be welcoming kind of a new phase in my intuitive work, where that can deepen. So I guess maybe a question I would ask is, what can you tell me about channeling or channeling work?
For you.
That I'm
Okay.
welcoming in this during this year. I don't know. Yeah.
That's a good question.
Okay.
So there is a card for you. You're too young, but years ago there was a American Express commercial, and the tagline was, "There's a card for that." And I say that when I read for people because it we have in Lenormand a way, one of the techniques is to pick what's called a significator, and that would be the card that represents the issue, right? Or the person that you're reading on. So here I'm going to look for the issue. And the issue is channeling. And this is a particular type of metaphysical work. And what I am intending is for it to be specifically about channeling. So I just want to quickly, with that intention in mind, one of the things that I don't do is like bridge shuffle my cards just because I like everything I do to be really intentional. So they're shuffled with an eye towards the question. And this is my deck. It's called Erica's Lenormand of Hope, new out this past October. And the card I'm going to pick is the moon. Because the moon stands for all metaphysical esoteric work, but here we're charging it with the energy for you of channeling. Okay, so I cut the deck into three piles and then I gather them back up. And then I look through the cards one by one. I flip them over. Fortunately, they're not 78, there's only 36. And I flip them over one by one until I get to the card that represents channeling. And in this case, it is the moon. So I will hold up the moon card in my deck.
That's a beautiful moon.
Yeah, and it's surrounded by datura, which are plants that only flowers that only bloom in moonlight.
Oh, wow.
Wild. So I put that there. So now I have two piles, right? I have the pile I turned over and I have the ones that I didn't turn over yet. So the moon is the only card on the table. Of the cards I already pulled, I take one and put it to the left, and another, put that to the left. So now I have three cards. In fact, I'm going to pull a fourth card. So you're going to have a seven card spread. And then I still have cards in my hand. So I'm going to pull three cards to the right. This gives me my seven card spread. So here is what we have on that subject for you. The first card is the fox.
Interesting.
Now, in Lenormand, the fox means lots of different things. It's the foreigner, it's the scientist, it's the detective, it's also the expert. But also, think about a fox. A fox is wary, circumspect, careful. This fox is floating in a sea of mushrooms, as you can see. So sometimes a fox can be, foxy, not to be trusted. Sometimes, though, you look at this fox, he's a little blissed out. I mean, I'm coming from New Jersey, but now I live in California, so blissed out is language I would use. And so sometimes a fox can even kid themselves. So in a Lenormand spread, I have to say to myself, okay, what meaning should I ascribe to this card of all those meanings that I gave you? Here it's the card of the expert. Card of the expert. So you are more than capable of esoteric work overall and can master this. The next card we have is Crossroads. Now, Crossroads, if you're doing a pregnancy reading and Crossroads comes out, it could be multiples in a birth. It can be alternative ways of becoming a parent, like it could be adoption or surrogacy or IVF, something like that. But here, this means that you will be adding to your toolbox, adding to your repertoire, Crossroads, more than one thing. Okay. But the next card is interesting. It's clouds. I don't know which one, I don't know whether it was Milton or Shakespeare. I think Shakespeare, but the term is the quote is, there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so.
Right.
So this is to say that clouds tend to mean doubts. They are just thoughts. But thoughts, as we know, can become things. So your job is to not say, well, I don't know, can I do this? Is it possible to do this? No, it's just intend that you can do it and then walk towards it. What that tends to do then is to sweep away clouds, sweep away the doubts. In the center, we have the moon that stands for channeling for you. And we have the last three cards. We have the bear. The bear is, listen, nobody messes with a bear. But I will tell you, we do a thing in Lenormand called mirroring. So in other words, there are certain cards that I can look at together as pairs. The cards that I can look together at here in this context are these two. And that's interesting to me because it feels very much as though you will have some arm wrestling to do of these clouds. That it won't be a one and done thing where you just wake up and say, okay, my doubts are gone and everything. It'll be an arm wrestling kind of a thing. But you are capable. Now, had these cards been reversed in position, then that would have been a different story. It would have meant that all the arm wrestling in the world won't necessarily get rid of your doubts. But right, but here, this is sort of you are the master of this. And then we have a beautiful card called the stork. The stork is always positive. It means positive change. Now, what is the card I can mirror with that? I can mirror crossroads with the stork. So this new thing that you're going to add to your toolbox will improve your toolbox, in fact. Will make you better at what you do, more in demand. Stork is always positive change. Now, the last card is the tower. Now, this is not like the tower in tarot, as you can see, because as you know, tarot towers are always like on fire, falling apart, people are falling out of them. Ugh. And I mean, sometimes it's good, right? Sometimes we need that big sort of experience, but this is not that. The Lenormand Tower, as you can see, it is stalwart, it is sturdy, it's not going anywhere. It's the card for independence. It's the card for autonomy. It can be the card for loneliness. It can be the card for, again, autonomy, sort of standing on your own. It's also the card for any government entity that, like, we all have to pay taxes in a little bit. So it's taxes, it's schools, it's an office, it's that kind of thing. But how do I know what it is? Well, I look to see. I see that the stork comes right before it. So it's good, whatever it is. So it's not loneliness. That I can cross that out. But I want to look to see which card can I mirror it with. And I can, because it's the last card, I can mirror it with the first card, the fox. So to me, this is you achieving mastery in the channeling arena that whoever thinks, who looks at you cross-eyed or, side eyes you or whatever, you're going to ignore it because you are going to have experiences that convince you that, wait, I'm really doing this. I do channeling through Lenormand. I didn't intend to do it. It started out where I was working in a shop, and the owners were very particular about, well, this person is the one who does channeling. So don't say that you do channeling. But people would come in and they would ask me. So I would say, look, I'm not going to say I'm a channeler, a medium, but let's see what the cards do. So weird things would happen. Like a woman came in one time, and the whole time before she was coming, I heard a lyric of a Frank Sinatra song. So she comes in, I said, listen, she wanted me to bring her father in who had passed. I said, I listen, I don't, I'm just gonna say this because that's this. You don't censor yourself, because if you censor yourself, that's when the doubts come in. So I said, this lyric of this Sinatra song came to me, and she turned pale. She said that was his favorite song, and I was just listening to it in the car before I came in here. Another
Amazing.
one, I was it was also a father, and so I said, okay, here's what I keep hearing him say. He's got an accent. And he keeps saying, I got you, but he's not saying it like that. He's saying, I got you. I got you. And I smelled cigarette smoke. That's what he used to say to her. I
Oh.
said, baby girl, I got you. She said, my father used to say that all the time, and he smoked like a chimney.
Wow.
So I think for me, the mitigating tool for a mediumship is cards. I think you're going to do great. I think the only card of concern is clouds, and I think that's not a big deal because again, you're in control of that.
Yeah, to me it resonates because I'm an air sign, so I'm in the head a lot, right? And so those doubts and wondering if it's real and authentic and all of that stuff has been clouding the trust, right? So to me, that's a hugely resonant cloud. And
And then you need to arm wrestle that to the
yeah,
ground. Because, if it's a hot day and a bear's got a popsicle and you really want a piece of half of that popsicle, good luck, because you're not going to get it. The bear will have the popsicle and have you as a chaser, right? So you need to be this to these clouds. And you can, and we know that the outcome is good because we have Stork telling us positive change. And then we have this card of independence and autonomy and confidence, right? Confidence in your expertise.
That's right. Yeah, I love that tower. And what did people build towers for? To get higher perspective, to connect with what was above. And so that just seems like such a great archetype. And these are all archetypes, right? So these are,
Exactly. I think so. Yes.
yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing that occurred to me with the fox was maybe connected to the clouds. And I know sometimes the fox can have that cunning, sly connotation, but I was thinking, ooh, imposter syndrome.
Yes.
That's
You know what? You need to go read my Substack. I wrote one recently about imposter syndrome.
Oh, you did. Okay, I'm going there.
Yes. Go read it, because I don't think it's a thing. I think we tell ourselves it's a thing, but it's not. It's
Okay.
not.
Oh, I want to read that. That sounds good. So this has just been an opening. I feel like I can take next steps towards this,
Absolutely.
and I feel encouraged. I feel strengthened to be that bear, to kind of ch channel in that energy to push through those clouds. And
Yes, you have a right to do this work, is
yeah.
what the bear says.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I'm glad it's not telling me I'm a narcissist.
No.
That's great. Wow, thank you so much. That was a fantastic reading, and this has been a fantastic introduction. I want to put the link to those. Those cards are super beautiful.
Oh, wait, let me show you my people cards. So in Lenormand, traditionally it's 36 cards, right? But a modern nod or a nod to modernity is that now Lenormand decks all have two men and two women. This is so if you're doing a reading, and I mean, I've been in this position because I've been in this work prior to two men and two women being in a deck. So let's say you're doing a reading. And it's a same-sex couple. Do you know how dumb it is to say, okay, so I see that you're a woman, and you're telling me that your partner's a woman, but pretend that this man card is your partner because we only have one, man. It's just dumb. So what I asked my artist to do was to put two men and two women, and then to differentiate them by age. So here are my young people.
Oh, beautiful.
Aren't they beautiful?
Yeah.
And then here are my older people.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I think Lenormand is beautiful. I tried to write a book. I was asked by the publisher to write the book because they said they hadn't had it explained to them in such a comprehensible way before. So I tried to write the book in a friendly way and to show people through scaffolding. You know, as an English teacher, scaffolding was a thing. So you teach someone something and then you build on what you've taught them. You build on that skill like a house. So the information is scaffolded. So from the first chapter, you're doing a reading with the three cards, and then you build from that. So it's a very friendly system, really accessible. And for me, I came to it because I was a widow, and someone just serendipitously was passing a deck around. I said, "Well, what is that?" Because I knew it wasn't tarot. And they said, "Oh, I don't know. It just looked interesting." And I snatched it, and I never gave it back. And it was a Lenormand deck. And what I did with it was that, I was a widow suddenly with a teenager, and it was in October that I was widowed. So it's the beginning of the school year. I'm a teacher. And I had to go back to school, quite soon after my husband passed. And I didn't want to be, you always want that 3 a.m. friend that you can call and ask the same question to a million times. And but who's going to call their friends up at 3 a.m. and have them say, "You again?" Or didn't we just talk about this yesterday? So Lenormand became that friend for me. Sometimes tarot people will say, tarot doesn't like it when you ask that question over and over again, or tarot doesn't like that kind of question. I always say, really? Because Lenormand is just as tarot is, paint on cardboard.
Right.
What it is. So it has been nothing but a friend and a guide and a counselor. And I could ask the same question 10 times and it will give me the same answer, but using different cards 10 times so that eventually I get the point. It's beautiful. It can show you how to find your keys. It can tell you what the weather's going to be like if you're planning a party outside, but it can also talk to you about what your purpose is in life, how you get over a breakup. How you find love. It's just a beautiful, beautiful system.
Wow, fantastic. And thank you so much for sharing the Lenormand with us today. And so what is next for you? You've written this great guide that is accessible to anyone. And you published a deck, a beautiful deck that we'll post the link to as well. Got a Substack. What is next for you?
Yeah, I have a Substack. If you just look for my name, you'll find the Substack, but it's called In the Company of the Cards. And there will be also a video course coming out probably either this summer in the fall for Lenormand. And what's next is a different type of writing, I think. I think I would like to look at speculative fiction, maybe, or maybe memoir using the cards as maybe chapter headings, and if you look at the chapter heading, you'll know what the chapter's about, right? So I just want to do some interesting creative things with writing, I think. And I always read, by the way. People can always contact me for a reading.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I love your writing is so rich and beautiful
Thank
to
you.
read. I love kind of fell in love with your mother during the introduction of the book when you're walking down the street, she's got your hand and you're wondering, how does this amazing woman, my mom, like know where to go, when to turn right, when to turn left?
In New York City, no less,
New York
yes.
City, and that you use this as kind of a metaphor for really being introduced to the Lenormand cards, which I just thought was, I just felt welcomed in and taken care of by you in the introduction of this book. So you've
Well,
got
mission
your
accomplished.
readers
That's good. Thank you.
now. That's fantastic. So I wish you the best of luck with all of that, and yeah, keep in touch. If you write that memoir, I'd love to read it and talk to you about it and hear some stories again.
Terrific. Would love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.